The But Now podcast. Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." My name is Kevin Duran. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. My name is Kevin Duran, and thank you for joining the But Now podcast. This is our first episode. I'm very excited you guys are here. Why are we here? I had this thought one night when I was praying. The Holy Spirit led me to start a podcast that would help others solidify their relationship in Christ, and for people who are still asking questions, to allow them a safe place to hear stories and allow them to find similarities that they could relate to. I'm very, very excited for this. Bear with me. It's my very first time doing this, but I'm very, very excited. My first guest is an amazing friend of mine who, believe it or not, we didn't get to talk for about 2 years. We went different ways, but there was a point in my life where I really needed someone. And lo and behold, the Holy Spirit told me to reach out to Josiah. And from then on, it's been absolutely amazing. We've been working together for about 10 weeks now. And it's been a beautiful story. So I'd like to introduce my first guest, Josiah Begley.
Thanks for having me on the show, bro. It's such an awesome thing. You're the first one to interview me. So
huge
milestone for both of us, I guess.
The moment that this all went down and this brainchild of an idea came to me, I knew that I had to have you on first. So,
dude, I'm so grateful. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, man. I'd like to get it started just by introducing who you are and what you're doing now currently, and just let us have it. Who is Josiah and what's he doing?
Of course. So Josiah Begley, he is a father, he is a child of God, and he is also a husband to his beautiful wife. I got two kids. I own a video production agency called Kings of Content, where we pretty much help people scale their online presence. And yeah, we're navigating through life. I'm just seeing what God has in store for me, and I'm trying to take it a day at a time. I'm trying not to make all of my plans. I'm trying to just see what his plans are for me. And yeah, we are just trying to help amplify people's voices, and I'm trying to spread God's word and continue to build his kingdom in partnership with him.
What's it like being a father of two?
Being a father of two, you know, it's some of the things you'd expect, and some of it is very unexpected. I think one of my favorite parts about being a father is you start to have fresh eyes again. A lot of the things that we go through in life become new experiences again, like my daughter seeing a lake for the first time, seeing a duck for the first time, you know, experiencing new foods. And some of my favorite things that I've started to take for granted, she really helps me to dial it back and just be present, be grateful. And when I see the excitement through her eyes, I start to remember that it's really just the little things in life that we should be focused on. God cares about the details, and it's the little things that ultimately matter. So being a father has really humbled me into just being grateful for the small things again, but it's also helped me to just want to be a better person and reminding myself that I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm living for the people who are depending on me, and I'm just living for the people that God places in my life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I saw that you were surfing. Was that yesterday?
Yeah, dude. There's this awesome place in Arizona called Cannon Beach. And honestly, we didn't even know it was open. What's cool is until March, I guess you can walk in there for free. So we've just been going in there, like me and Maddie.
For free?
Yeah. We have a busy... We have a busy week, but if we didn't, we would be there like on our computers because our daughter's just content. She can play in the sand. It's just this big property. It's got this giant wave pool. And while there's not surfers in the water, they're just sending out little ripple waves just to make it feel like a beach. And yeah, so there's this thing called a unit wave. And what a unit wave is it's not like a surfing wave, but it's kind of like that. Like rip current that you'd see on a cruise ship where you have like a 1-inch thin board and you can kind of like go back and forth and practice. But this is like legit, like the waters are rushing so fast and it's really helping you to learn how to go back and forth on a wave, how to control your speed, how to carb. And what's crazy is it cut down what 3 years of practice like turned into an hour, and I was able to master something I'd been trying to master for years.
Wait, you hadn't surfed before?
Well, no, I've surfed before, but I've never been able to carb. A carb is like where you're going up and down the wave. You can go back and forth, gain speed, you know, do a tail whip. But that's really hard to practice because when you're surfing, you have to do so many things from like, I need to find the waves. Mm-hmm. The waves need to be on shore. What part of the island or part of the town are the waves at? I need to watch out for marine life. I need to share with 20 other surfers who are trying to get it.
Right.
So like to get the practice in is nothing near as close as the efficiency of that. And it was really a God thing. I want to point this out because God is so good. And the miracle that happened that day was so interesting. First thing was I got a slot where there was nobody there. So I got the whole thing to myself. Usually you're sharing with like five or six people. So that was the first thing. Second thing, I got a free instructor. You have to pay extra.
Okay.
And like that worked out great. I was like, wow, I'm just getting these free lessons. third awesome thing. And I was like, God, you're so good. A videographer shows up with the same exact camera I have. And he said, hey, can I get some videos of you for free? I'm like, dude, what do you do? He's like, I'm just a YouTuber in town. I don't even live here. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then the fourth crazy thing that happened, because I'm trying to like network and like start working for that organization because I really want to get plugged in there. Mm. And if I can make some trades happen, so I'm not paying $200 to go surf for an hour.
Right.
But I end up sitting, ordering food, and I sat right next to the marketing director, and then me and him hit it off. All four of those things. I was like, God, you're so good. You just realize how stressed I've been.
Divine
you realize plan. Like how defeated I felt lately. And sometimes he'll give you a nice little tee up. He'll say, hey, I see you. I'm here for you. You're doing a great job. Now let me just like create some perfect circumstances so that you can just rest and be present with me. And so, yeah, all those things happen all in a single day. And I was like, this is crazy. That's so very cool. much needed.
I just said, divine planning. And I wanted to take a second and just share with the viewers and listeners that, you know, I met with Josiah because like my life had just come to pieces. It was rough. And I remember one day I was driving to work, and I'm sitting there driving to work, and I'm crying. And I remember that I have clients because I'm a personal trainer. So I'm in the car. I'm like, you know, sucking it up, like getting the tears to go back inside. And I go inside getting ready to just, you know, make it through the day, just make it through the day. And I hear, hey, buddy. And I turn around and it's Josiah, and I just start weeping. I'm just weeping because, lo and behold, you weren't even supposed to be there for another 30 minutes.
And I had never been there in like months, and I happened to be walking right behind you.
Yep, right, literally. Oh man, that was so good. So God is so good, and he's got a plan for everything. And that was one of the first times in a long time that I've been able to be present and coherent enough to actually see God's divine planning. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll get into all that, my story later. I'm going to do my episode in April and then another one in December after the full year. But yeah, man, let's talk about your faith walk. Like, when did you get introduced to Jesus and how did it happen?
Great question, dude. It's honestly such a crazy story. Like, God is so cool in how he does things. I grew up Christian, but like I was just going to church because my dad was like, let's go to church. I'm like, I'm not going to fight you on it. Like, why not? You know, we're as kids, I feel like we're very open-minded. I feel like the world kind of closes our mind and starts like taking away that open-mindedness because we're afraid to be wrong. We're afraid to make mistakes. So eventually I started to grow up a little bit more, and my dad wasn't able to answer certain questions. And these are questions like you can't answer. Like, how are you supposed to comprehend a God who can created all things?
Mm-hmm.
But long story short, when I was around the age of like 10 or 11 or something, I was like, Dad, you know, I'm not getting any takeaways from church. I'm bored. Like, I'm falling asleep. Like, do I really have to keep going to church? And he's a great father. And not that he didn't force me to go to church, but he let it be my decision. He's like, I'm not going to force you to go to church, son. Mm-hmm. So I stopped going to church for a while. And, you know, I didn't completely disregard God. Like, he definitely popped up on my heart and my mind a lot. And there were moments where I prayed, and I always tried to pray over my food and stuff like that, but I still didn't get the Bible. It didn't make any sense to me. And honestly, there's just a lot of instances where I was like, it does not seem logical for there to be a God, especially a God that loves me. Like, that makes no sense. There's just so much weird things happening in the world for that to be true. So walked away from God for a while and just went down the wrong path, dude. I've done so many drugs. You know, I was doing cocaine. I think I did meth by accident. I was doing mollies. I was smoking a lot of weed. I was getting drunk literally at least once a week, sometimes multiple times per week. And there's just going down the wrong path. There's just my new God became finding a woman that would want to sleep with me, because I feel like all of my friends, like, you weren't cool unless you were able to sleep with a woman. And I was like the only one in the friend group who had not done that. And then I felt like I was an outcast for not sleeping with anybody. Mm-hmm. And so I was always trying so hard. And that was like my focus. We'd go to parties. I'd get drunk so that I'd feel a lot more loose, you know, the liquid courage,
yep.
Work up the courage to be able to talk to a girl. And what's ironic is like, I was always like, yeah, I was like at times trying to hook up, but a majority of the time I was like, dude, I just want to find a girlfriend. Like, that's really what I want. You guys can go sleep around. But I'm kind of looking for love. And Maddie didn't believe me when I told her that story until she asked my friend. She's like, oh yeah, no, just, they were like, yeah, no, Josiah was the one looking for love. Like, he was just a little, we were just like, oh, Josiah.
In all the wrong places.
Yeah, exactly. In all the wrong places. And if, for example, and I'm not going to say this is impossible because God can do anything, but if you're looking for a woman at the bar or the club, you're probably not going to find a long-term woman who's really has your best interests in mind. She's probably there for the same thing as everybody else, which is for quick hookups and nothing long term. So just be careful where you're looking when you're trying to find your wife. Try and find her in areas where, or husband, by looking in areas where you know, you think people are doing good things and whatever that is, volunteer work, church, whatever. But after that whole party scene, it wasn't until I was about 18 or 19 or something. I moved away. I went to Hawaii for a little bit after I graduated. I was like, you know, I need to get out of here. Like, I need to get away from my circle of influence. Cause it was like, I had run from the cops so many times that the very last time I finally got arrested, and it was something super silly. Like, other times it was, you know, smoking weed in public. It was curfew. It was, you know, exiting a party that just got busted by the cops. There's so many different reasons I was running. Nothing like violence related, but there was one instance where we did a dine and dash, and I didn't even know we were doing this. I was like, you know, like, you're my ride, bro. Like, I was at a point in my life where I wasn't able to stand up for myself and speak up for myself. So I just like went along with whatever my friends were doing. I was just so afraid to be like, dude, I don't want to do this. Like, I was just like, okay, well, I guess we're going to do this and you're my ride. So we got there and nobody said we were doing a dine and dash. It wasn't until we ordered all of our food and then they told the girls to leave first. And now it was the guys. And now it was like, okay, now you guys are leaving. We're doing a dine and dash. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, I wanted to just walk out and just, like, I just didn't even want to be a part of that. So when it came to us leaving, like, I walked out to the front. Like, I was like, I'm not even going to run. Like, if they are on to something, I'm not even going to run. I'm just going to stand right here. Like, I don't even want to be associated with this. Mm-hmm. And also, I didn't even have money. So the only thing I ordered was a little bowl of fruit. So it was like a dollar. So, like, to get busted for dine and dashing for a dollar purchase was, like, kind of humiliating. But it also ended up working in my favor, which I'll talk about in a second. But long story short, the last guy, my buddy Austin, who he was the one driving, and he's also the one who's really turned my life around. So God used him to do great things. But so we leave, and the waiter's just like red faced, chases him out the door. He's the last one out. They know what's going on now. They're just chasing him around the parking lot. Like, they're going in circles. I'm like, Austin, like, why don't you run away? Like, why are we running around their parking lot? Like, that's the worst idea. And so basically, the owner of the restaurant comes out, and me and him are just standing next to each other. Like, he's not even regarding me. You could tell that secretly he knows I don't want to be a part of it, because I'm just not even trying to run. But they're just running around and they're cussing each other out. And eventually, like, Austin runs away, and I'm like, all right, well, that's my friend. Later, dude. Like, I got to go and follow them and figure out where they're going, because he's my ride. So long story short, what's funny was this was right on Gilbert. And it was on Gilbert Road and Warner Road. And if you know where that is in Arizona, that is right next to the police station.
Right.
So we're literally like a rock throw within the police station. So as we run out, there's this giant plot of land, just all dirt, all fenced in. Everyone jumps over the fence. And now we're just in this bowl of dirt. There's no light. So it's pitch black in there, dirt. But you just see within 10 minutes, there is a cop like every quarter mile radius. You see where you're like, okay, well, we're now stuck in a bowl with cops at every angle. We're done. So I literally bury my face in the sand, and I'm just like, okay, maybe if, you know, their flashlights can't glimmer off my eyeballs, if I just put my nose in the dirt and I just stay, I'm in all black, so maybe they won't find me. All I hear is like all the commotion, like, get down or I'll tase you. And you hear like just a lot of yelling and like just people scrambling, and you hear everybody else get arrested, and I'm the last one. And they're like, where's your friend? And they're like, oh, Jace, you'll never find him. They like gave me an alias name. They're like, you'll never find him. He's a ninja. And so I hear them searching, and within 20 minutes or so, all I hear is hands behind your back. And I'm like, there's no way that's for me. It's too far away. And then it gets closer, and I'm like, oh, well, in case he doesn't see me, I'm going to do this very slowly.
Right.
And then he gets up. He's like, you're a really good hider. So you could tell he's a chill cop. I was like, oh, thank you. And then he just like, you could tell he was a chill one, but he walks me back to everyone. And then at the end of all of that, my dad comes and picks me up. And my dad was like, I love him to death. Like, he was like a hothead. Like, he was like, he'd come in like blaze and like yelling at me, cussing me out. And this time he didn't say a single word. And like something like snapped in me. He just was like finally done. Cause he had like, I had gotten in trouble with the cops so many times that this time you could tell I was disowned. Like, and so he brings me home and he just says, go to your room. And like, this was also like 2 a.m. So he was probably tired. After that, you know, it hit different. And after that, I really just didn't want to be with that crowd anymore. Like, for as long as I could remember, I just wanted to be popular. I just wanted to fit in. I just wanted friends, because my whole life we were just moving house to house. I've lived in about probably 15 different homes over my lifetime. And so I always felt like an outcast, because everyone's like, oh yeah, I've lived here for like 10 years. I'm like, I wish I've lived in one spot for 10 years. But that was finally the point where we didn't move anymore. But those were my friends now. And I didn't cut them off, but I stopped reaching out and I stopped replying to their messages, which I guess was cutting them off a little bit. But I was like, I just need to just disconnect. God, And again, I wasn't a full believer yet, but something inside of me was like, I just need to disconnect from all these people. And then so graduated high school a year or so later. I got really good grades my last year because I had classes I actually liked. After that, I was like, I'm out of here. I'm going to go move with my mom. And once I moved with her, she was just such a loving light in my life. And she was just all so unconditional with her love. And I kind of grew in my relationship with God a little bit there. I kind of become more open. It was more like openness to the universe. Like it was like hard for me to like say openness to God. It was kind of like that kind of vibe. But after a year, I moved back to Arizona because my whole family was like, you're going to become a beach bum. You're not going to do anything with your life. And they were very loving with how they said it, but you could tell they were concerned. So I moved back. I was like, I'll go to college. And while I moved back, you know, I went to college for a semester before dropping out. You know, we started a business. I met my wife in college in my first class, so it all worked out. But it was shortly after that that I started like my video business. And I was flying a drone, and this is where my testimony kind of starts, is I was flying a drone at Discovery Park in Arizona, like right next to the Mormon Temple. And there's this puppy that ran up to me. His name was Jax. And the man who owned it walked up to me too. Older guy, super, me and him have grown super close, but I guess he had just beaten cancer. Like it, like a little what's up interaction turned into a 3-hour conversation to the sun goes till the sun went down.
Wow.
And he was just showing me like his transformation, his story. He was showing me pictures of like when he was bald, he had cancer, showing me all of like the proof that the doctors really did say, hey, you have 3 months left to live. Like he had the worst stage of cancer that you can have. And again, pronounced like you should start saying your goodbyes. And so he showed me like all the scans and all the stuff, like showing the cancer. And he told me a story about how, you know, he was on his deathbed and he saw Jesus like after a surgery, and Jesus just touched him on the shoulder. And he wasn't like a believer in God or anything. So it was just this weird experience. Wow. He said it felt like the room got cold, like this guy that looked like Jesus, which he didn't identify as that, touched him on the shoulder. And like something, a thought popped up in his head that said, you're in the presence of Jesus. And he, again, and what I love that he said, he was so humble. He's like, I was the last guy Jesus should be meeting.
Oof.
He's like, I was the last guy. But after that, the pain went away immediately as soon as Jesus touched him on the shoulder. And so he's telling me this story and I'm like in disbelief. I'm like, this is crazy. And he's like, here's the proof. They said, cause he went back to the Mayo Clinic, which is in Arizona, and they like fired him from the Mayo Clinic. They're like, we can't find a single trace of cancer in you. If you didn't have this proof of these other pictures, we would have said you're lying. We wouldn't have believed you had cancer. Everything was gone. So he told me this crazy testimony.
So good.
He brought me to this church. He invited me to church after that. And I was like, dude, of course I'll go with you. Like, why not? Went to this church called Sun Valley, which is where I still go to this day. This was about 9 years ago. After a couple years of just going there consistently, I finally found a church where like it made sense. I showed up there. People actually said hi to me. I felt like I was welcome. Yep. It wasn't this condemning, judgmental church environment, which a lot of churches are like, hey, you need to be perfect or you're kicked out. Like it was loving and the message made sense. The pastor Chad, like he could at least get me to laugh like once at every sermon.
He's always good for a laugh.
He's good. And it's because he's relatable and he doesn't act like this perfect pastor. Like he's like, hey, here's all my faults. Here's why I'm the most unqualified, but in God's sense of humor, he used me to lead this church.
Right.
And I love the humility in that. And so like going there consistently, like every sermon, I learned something new and I was applying it and I wasn't perfect. And my life wasn't like all better now. I still had my struggles, but I went there for a few years. And then after a few years, I started volunteering there. And I'm telling you, when you start volunteering for the right church, like you experience the spiritual transformation you cannot experience. Amen. The act of serving and giving your time for free and feeling like, I can't believe I'm like doing this. I can't believe like I'm doing this. And the feelings I get of doing this for free with nothing in return is way more value than I would have received as if I was being paid for it. So a couple of years after that, they reached out to me, like, and this was after I already applied for a job there. I was like, I would love to be paid to do this. Like, are you kidding me? I got denied because I had no church experience yet. This was before I was volunteering, so it made sense. But after volunteering for a couple of years, they lost somebody that moved away and they were like, hey, you know, we were praying about it and you popped up on our hearts. And they reached out to me, they interviewed me, and I ended up getting a job there. What's funny is the job that they reached out to me for was not the job that I got, which was ironic because somebody else applied and he got the job. But they're like, we really want you on staff. So we're reallocating budgets and we're going to create a new job position called the video content coordinator. So I got a job position that didn't even exist. And God just opened that door worked there for a couple of years. And yeah, ever since then, it's just been this crazy transformation where I'm still struggling with certain sin and I'm still, you know, walking. Like, things don't get perfect, but like, this is the highest quality of life I've ever experienced. I've never felt so at peace. I've never felt so loved. I've never felt such a connection with God. And I've never just felt like everything is starting to make sense. Okay, these things are happening in this world. Like, I have power to, I need to just focus on what I can control. And right. like, as I live in that space of like, control the controllables, be there for other people, treat people better than yourself. Like, I've just experienced this life that I know God's like really destined me for. And here we are.
We are. That's amazing, man.
Yeah.
So you committed your life to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Baptized when? After a couple, okay. A couple years. I think I got baptized. And then a couple years after that, that's where my wife got baptized as well. Her testimony is insane. Like mm-hmm. she was actually an atheist for the first 5 years of us dating. This was when I was like walking with God.
Got you.
But she was keeping it secret because she thought I would like break up with her if I knew that she was an atheist, which wouldn't have happened at all. But right. that was the enemy lying to her.
Absolutely.
But yeah, eventually she became a believer as well after this crazy supernatural experience happened. But yeah.
When did you guys get married?
We got married, I would like to say, about like 4 years after we started dating.
Okay.
You know, after it was funny. We knew each other for 6 months. We were kind of just like helping each other on projects as like a table collective effort. And then it was after those 6 months that we hung out for the first time. And just as friends, like it was really like, she didn't know that like I even was interested. She's like, this really does feel like a friendship, which made her more attracted to me because I wasn't like trying so hard to like win her over. It was like, hey, I just want to hang out. Like, I'm not, because I had just got out of the most toxic relationship of my life, like make you cry like every month, multiple times, like verbal abuse to the max. And I felt like I wasn't supposed to be who I am. She made me feel like I was supposed to be some different version that God didn't create.
Right.
And so I was trying to fit this mold and I was never able to reach her standards. You know, we had some good times, a lot of good times, but for the most part, I always felt like I was just someone I wasn't. And so I didn't want a relationship, which is why it worked out great. And you know, for me and Maddie, it was really just hanging out, and that friendship was a great foundation. And then we moved in together really fast. I think it was 6 months after we hung out. I was like, hey, do you want to move to Hawaii for a couple months?
She's
and,
like, sure.
Yeah. And then we moved in with my mom and she was all for it. Her family was not for it, but, you know, they were disappointed she wasn't going to college, but God was good. And, you know, we were able to both build like very good businesses on the island, and she realized she didn't need college. She went down the personal trainer route, and right. it worked out really good. But yeah.
Awesome, man. Question for you. So when you were pre-committing, what was holding you back? Was there anything that you struggled with the most that was like, I don't know if this is real. Like, I don't know if I can put all my faith in Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. Was there anything that was particularly that you can remember that was holding you back?
You know, I think we all have doubts sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, is God really real? And I think the doubt is healthy. I mean, obviously you don't want to be doubting all the time. You really want an open mind, and you want to like show your faith through your actions of like, okay, I'm going to show up at church, even though I don't feel like it could be real, you know, like there is acts of faith, but I did have doubts, but I never put a lot of thought into it of like, oh, should I keep doing this? For me, it was like, I love how I feel after I go to church.
Mm-hmm.
I love how like I get to see the fruits of what happens when I do what God's word says. And God's word, like when I'm reading the Bible and it says, hey, don't lie, I'm like, oh, I can see why I shouldn't, because now I have to keep up with all of these lies. And then people don't trust me when I get caught in a lie, or, you know, maybe I shouldn't, you know, like care more about myself. You know, it's like you learn all these principles from Jesus and you're like, it just makes sense to apply these things. So as I started applying more of what the Bible said, rather than looking at all the parts I don't understand, like, and just applying the things that made not always made sense, but just applying, trusting God, going to church, like I didn't like the opposite result. Right. I didn't like what my life was like before the church. I didn't like what my life was like when I was doing all these different types of sin. It was like seeing, just like when you work out consistently, it's painful, it's uncomfortable, but as you do it consistently, you see the fruits, you see the results, you start to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And like, when you get to actually see that before and after, like you're like, I prefer the after.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. Like, I think it was like 2 days ago, I called you, or I left you a voice memo, and I was crying.
Like the best one ever.
And it wasn't even a sad cry. It was just like everything I've ever wanted in my life when it came to being loved, being accepted, the peace. I always looked for it in people, substances, activities. And now that I've experienced the real thing, could never take a forfeit. You could never take a counterfeit like that. Yeah. Like I wouldn't forfeit. I wouldn't forfeit this piece for anything. Like, it's insane. And it's so hard to really grasp and explain.
It is.
But once you allow yourself to have that faith, have that trust, which is hard because we live in a broken world. And how many times have you been hurt?
Oh yeah.
So many times. So to be able to do that with God is, it's fantastic. I can't wait to share my story, but that's for another time.
Yeah. It's so good, man, because it's like, you got to see it to believe it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people are like, oh, well, you know, I'll believe it once I see it. But it's like, you really just have to like give it your all, like full surrender. I'm going to give this my all.
Yep.
And we'll just see what happens. And like, that's really where God shows up. It's like scripture says, where you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. And it's like when you really just give it all to God and you're like, okay, I'm going to really try mm-hmm. and not make all these excuses of this person hurt me. And it's like church hurt is real. But like when you fully devote and give it your full effort, you really do see God and his love and you start to understand the Bible and everything starts to click and make sense. And then you can see why the world is so broken. You're like, they're just simply not applying what God has been trying to tell us all along.
Exactly, brother. It's so crazy because like when you see scripture and you're not ready yet, yeah. and you're seeing scripture, you're like, okay, love the Lord with all your might. And okay, cool. But no, like if you really do it,
yeah,
if you really apply what scripture says, there's so much peace at the other end of it.
There's so much
wisdom. Like they say that there's an answer for everything in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's your sword against the enemy. And whew.
Yeah.
Goodness. And I'm still so new. I fully surrendered. What was that? Like 60 days ago, November 30th, something like that. Mm. So
was that when we were like doing the coaching stuff?
That was when I called you.
Oh,
I was
that's like, hey, crazy.
Bro, I need to talk to you.
That's so crazy. I know you fully surrendered and just seeing your transformation. Like you're always thanking me and I'm glad that you thank me while giving the credit to Jesus.
Yes.
Cause like, dude, it's like, I could not plan this. I could not orchestrate this crazy transformation you've been in.
This
like,
is
going to
be
really
an amazing story that we tell years down the road. Because like we didn't talk for 2 years. I saw you at the gym. You led a Bible study one day, and then I never saw you again.
Yeah.
And then my life is in pieces on the floor, and I'm like, for some reason, the Holy Spirit's like, Josiah, call Josiah, and here we are now.
It's so weird. And you were also like, God needed to use you for me as well because like we started this coaching program, which you've been going through. Mm. It's just like a series of like reflecting on certain questions together and having accountability. Mm-hmm. And like, I wouldn't have started this, like, honestly, if it wasn't for you. Cause like, I knew I wanted to do something like this, but like you wanting the coaching, I'm like, let's just figure this out. I'm going to figure this out. And we're still building it out, but just seeing what it's turned into for you is just insane.
Yeah.
Just to know like, okay, God had a plan and he brought us both together for like great divine reasons, which is so cool.
Man, it's so good too. Like, I mean, I don't sit here and I don't, you know, say to God, like, why did it take this long? I mean, I had my own issues. I've had my own traumas. I've had my own nonsense that I've continually gone back to over the years. My behavior patterns that I haven't broken until right now, but just keep them cool.
Yeah.
No crying. That's for another episode.
No, it's okay. We'll make it this one. My
next question for you is, what trials did you face after finding salvation? Can you tell us some testimonies about like things that happened after you were saved or after you guys got married that you ran into that were just like, only God could have got us through that. And he did.
Yeah. There's honestly so many, you know, what I like to compare it to a lot is like the story of David and Goliath. Like before David fought this giant, he didn't just go from, okay, we're fighting a giant now. It's like David had to fight off like the little creatures. He had to protect the flock because he was a shepherd. And it said he like fought a bear and a lion
and
or something
lion,
like that. So you got to think about it, like every area of your life where you start to experience a new trial, like God is really preparing you for the next biggest trial. Like, again, he didn't just put him up against Goliath, like he had other things. And obviously, I don't want to go fight a lion or a bear.
Right.
But there's probably many other battles before that that led him to have the strength and ability to do that. But not just in his own strength and ability, like it was really just showing that God can do more in partnership with us than we could ever do by ourselves. And so there has been many moments like, dude, I won't even lie. There was like, there's so many instances where you're like, how are we going to have enough to pay the bills? And at this point in my life, like, dude, the other month we lost like 80% of our revenue, like right as we had our second baby, like we are far below the amount of money we need to afford our bills. And of course, I like panicked a little bit on day one, but then God just reminded me, he's like, Josiah, you've been in this position before. It's a lot of moments like that where it's like, Josiah, we've been through this before. I got you through it. Like, we're here right now. Like 3 years ago, you didn't think you were going to make it past that thing and you did. And here we are. I just need you to trust me and know that I have better plans for you. If it's not good, then I'm not done. And I'm like, you're so right. Like, I really need to not worry about how am I going to do this? And I just got to trust and say, how is God going to do this? With an expectant attitude of like, I know you will get me through this. And so there's so many instances like that where I just know I don't have to worry. Worrying is from the enemy. And as I worry, then I am worshiping the enemy, Satan, because he wants me to worry. Worrying serves his mission. So by doing that, I'm not trusting God. So there's just a lot of instances. And I've just noticed when you have spiritual breakthroughs, whether it's like, okay, I need to stop doing this and today is the day, or spiritual breakthroughs, things that like, or me even just helping people. Like there's been instances where, you know, I had a friend say yes to Jesus and he did it and God used me to help him like open his heart up. But like, you will receive spiritual attacks. The enemy, Satan, does not like when you are helping people get into God's kingdom. He doesn't like when you rescue people from addiction and he doesn't like when you change people's lives. Like he will throw like so much your way. Just like, you know, like in the book of Job, like Job was faithfully serving God. Like God was like, look at this one, look at Job. And Satan's like, well, let me throw him through the testing and see if he's still faithful to you. And then Job loses everything. Like everything. Satan does not like when we are on the right track. So he's going to throw things on our path. So I'll confidently say there's so many seasons where I feel like a trial comes my way, but it's not like, okay, like why God? Like before it was probably like a really angry, why God? Like, why are you doing this to me? Why are you getting me out of my comfort zone?
Come on.
But now it's really like, okay, you're disrupting my patterns. And I really appreciate this, God, because I know that I'm forgetting about you. Because what happens when we're comfortable? We stop depending on God. We're like, well, everything's good. Why do I need you, God? And we don't say that deliberately and outright, but like subconsciously, that's how we live.
Through our actions.
Yeah. So like, I'm really grateful when God gets me uncomfortable, because then I have to remember, like, quit depending on yourself, Josiah. Like, God has got you this far. You could not have done that, 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 and that on your own.
Correct.
That was God. There's no way I could have opened those doors. So there's just been lots of instances where, yeah, he did. There were lots of trials and I still face those.
Yeah.
And
I wrote this down. It says each obstacle you face is not just a challenge. It's an opportunity to testify to the goodness of and faithfulness of God.
That's so good. You know what that reminds me of?
Oof.
It reminds me of all the moments where someone enters my path where they are going through something that I've been through. And now I'm able to help them through that because I'm now, I've walked that road. I can tell them what I did. I don't have to be fake and say, you should do this and you should do that and should all over people. But it's more of like, here's what I did. And then not just always giving people advice, but just being there and knowing in that position, I just wanted someone who would listen to me and hear me out and who would give me advice when I asked for it, you know? So
yeah,
I love those moments.
I had a client of mine. He asked me. He just hit me up out of the blue. He's like, "Yo, I need to work out." And I'm like, "Okay, let's go." And he knew my past. I've shared my story with him and my testimony. And he let me know that he was struggling with substance abuse, that it had come back and reared its ugly head in his life. And I just looked at him and I was like, "Have you tried Jesus?" And he's like, "Well, I'm not good enough." And I'm like, that's exactly who he's looking
for.
That's
everybody's.
That's exactly who he's looking for, bro. And I was able to minister to him a little bit and slowly open up his heart. So I'll keep talking with him and working with him. But just being able to say that I've made it through all those things that he's struggling with, and now I'm having thriving life in Christ, that right there is just being able to be a living, breathing testimony and helping others is, it's just a huge testament of God and his faithfulness and just how good he is.
Yeah. I always like to say this quote, like, because like I've been wanting to talk about more about my faith and not be afraid to like get things wrong and not, and I always have this, you know, imposter syndrome. We have imposter syndrome on so many things in our life. Whenever we're wanting to do something new, I'm not qualified. And it's like, what God has led me to believe is he's like, just remember this quote, you don't need a degree if you have a testimony. And if you're just living out the faith and you believe and you can justify like what you believe in, you live that out, like people do get curious. They're like, dude, you had this thing happen to you and you're still so joyful and you're at peace about it. Like, why? Like, then people start to become curious. They're like, I want what you have. And that's where doors will open. God will open doors. Like, it's not your job to save people. It's not your job to get all these people in church. It's like your job to just like trust God, follow God, live by example, And people and God will literally open doors for those types of conversations. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there will be a word that you want to say and you're like, hey, you know, I just thought of this Bible verse that's very relevant. Do you mind if I share it? And like moments like that will open up very clearly and provided by the Holy Spirit. So
absolutely. And when it comes to imposter syndrome, I mean, like you said, we all have it sometimes. And I think it comes up when we care too much about what other people think.
You're so right.
And we're not caring about the fact that we have all our power that we need through Christ. Our identity is in him. Mm-hmm. So don't worry about it. He's got it under control.
Yeah.
You know, when we start worrying about what other people are going to think and how are they going to think? No, just take the peace in knowing that your identity in Christ is all you need.
100%.
He is the light and that light is in you.
100%. There's this, the Bible verse that Chad keeps saying at church, which is Romans 12:2, do not mm-hmm. conform to the pattern of this world.
Correct.
But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. And like that whole verse to me is just really pointing out like there are so many patterns that I have that the world has, and I need to start learning to go against the grain. I need to make sure I'm not so focused on people's opinions, because I can confidently say when I was so stressed and anxious all the time and my confidence was like below the ground, it was always because I was so deep in thought all the time about what will this person think if I wear this, or if I do this, or if I say this, what will they think?
Right.
And it really robs you of God's purpose in your life, because now you're trying to conform to what the world wants from you rather than being who God called you to be, mm-hmm. which is like such a stressful place to live.
And it's so funny that you brought up, it's so funny, like literally God has been speaking to me through every single pastor, through every single podcast, through every single person that I'm running into. But it's so funny that Pastor Chad is doing, you know, Romans 12:1 and 12:2, because 12:1 is, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a holy and living sacrifice. This is your true and proper worship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, that was what I never did. I never mm-hmm. offered my entire self. Mm-hmm. I always gave him 95% and yeah. held on to that last 5%. And I was talking to my other friend, Pastor Jared Harris, who I hope to get on here as well. I would explain to him that during worship, for all these years since I gave my life to Christ, for about 7 years, I would weep, shaking during worship. And ever since I gave my life, or not, ever since I finally surrendered completely, after I was like, take it, God, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I don't weep during worship anymore. And he goes, that was shame, bro. Mm. That was shame, just weighing so heavy on your heart because you couldn't tell your Heavenly Father what was really going on inside you.
Mm-hmm.
You're wearing a mask and you weren't giving him everything. And I was just like, yeah, that was wild.
So true.
So wild.
What I love that Chad says is the devil says shame on you, but God says shame off mm-hmm. you.
Off you, yep.
You know, so we always just got to remember, like, God will never attack us. Scripture says God is not against you. He is mm-hmm. for you. Even if you're like the most evil of evil people, like, God still loves you. He's trying to get you out of that. He's trying to turn you into something better, someone better, but like, God is not against us. He will definitely oppose us when we are going against his other children. Just like as a father, I would want to protect my children. So I'm gonna do what I need to protect them. But God is beyond me. He's more loving than me. So I'm sure he'll do it in a way better way. But
mm-hmm. And he loves you so much that he sent his only son to die for your sins so that you could be with him in heaven.
100%.
I mean, and that's what this whole, you know, Ephesians 2:13, you know, but now mm-hmm. those of you who are, but now in Christ Jesus, those of you who are far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Yeah. And what's so crazy is like that, all that right there used to be so confusing. And that was actually like one of the reasons that like I felt like the church religious life like really confused me. I'm like, okay, I understand there's this Jesus and he died for me and he died on the cross and he took my sins. I'm like, that's all confusing though. Like what? And so like what's really helped me is just understanding like there was a debt that needed to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
We like scripture says that our very best efforts, the very best person I could ever be, is still filthy rags to God. So he understood that we would never be able to work our way to his perfection. So mm-hmm. he's worked his way to us through Jesus. And what's crazy is as I start to learn about Jesus through reading the Bible and reading the red letters where he spoke and the things he spoke about, I start to like him more. And then as I start to like him more, just like with any relationship, I start to trust him more.
Mm-hmm.
I start to believe in him more. I'm like, this guy is real. Like Jesus was literally real. And as you learn like what he's teaching, you're like, this makes sense. If everyone was like this, I would have a way better life. This world would be fixed if we all just lived the way that he's trying to tell us to live.
Wow.
And as I do that, like just like they say, you become the average of the five people you hang out with. As mm-hmm. I'm spending more time with God, I start to become more like him and his characteristics. And then you start to experience what's called the fruit of the Spirit, which mm-hmm. is talked about in Galatians. Everyone, there's people that Chad jokes about. He's like, this girl came up to me in the church and she's like, I want the fruit basket.
Yeah,
and
he's
like, fruit basket, what are you talking about? And then his wife's like, oh, she's talking about the fruits of the Spirit, because the right. fruits of the Spirit are love. Like, because as you follow Jesus and become more like him and do what he says, you experience these things. Love, you experience more love, mm-hmm. more joy, more peace, more patience. Mm-hmm. I need a lot more patience. Mm-hmm. I need that especially. More gratefulness, mm-hmm. more faithfulness. Like, I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to be faithful to God and my spouse. And you also have more self-control. Mm-hmm. We could use all those things.
And gentleness.
And gentleness. Mm-hmm. Yes. Gentleness is a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just having all of those, it's like, who doesn't want that?
Yeah.
You know?
So good, brother. And you know what? I just had the Holy Spirit tell me something. When you said, I read the red letters need to be red letters. We need to read those more often. We
100%.
Need to listen to what he's saying and believe it. It's so crazy because we'll read it and be like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Do you really believe it?
Yeah.
Because that's when the game changes.
It does.
When the red letters become red letters, oof.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's crazy. I think a lot of people, and I'm glad Chad brought this up at church. Like, it's really important that you don't start at the beginning of the Bible. If you're like new in your faith, like yeah. don't start at the beginning.
Go to the gospel.
Start to the gospel. And if you're reading, there's a bunch of different books. Like, the Bible is not a book. Like, it is a book, but it's actually a library. There's yeah. so many books inside the Bible that were written over 1500 years by about 30 to 40 different authors across three different continents.
Right.
And it's a library. So mm-hmm. what you want to do if you're new to faith is you want to start in the book of Matthew. And when we say red letters, it's like one of the only books in the world that I know of where the ink color changes. Every time Jesus
Correct.
Speaks, the ink is red. Every mm-hmm. the rest of the book is all black ink. So you want to look for those red letters and you want to just start in Matthew. And as you read through that, like, you don't just like start believing all of a sudden, oh, I believe because I read it. It's like, start applying what mm-hmm. you read. And then you experience the result of why it's so important. And then you're like starting to believe because you're like, everything I've applied is everything it's telling me to do. And the result that will come from that, I'm experiencing. So I'm starting to believe now everything that I read.
Whew. Yes,
yeah.
sir.
So.
Yes, sir.
Just simplifying it for especially those no believers, because I know I started in the beginning of the Bible and I was like, this is evil.
There's so much stuff going on.
Yeah,
like,
there's
wars
like
and murders
fall, yeah.
and burning of bodies. And
it's
yeah.
like, this is a cult.
This is Old Testament.
Yeah, dude. And it's like what I learned is it's really to paint the picture of how far we are from God, how far we've fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Because then Jesus comes in. He's like, here's how you should live. God's trying to tell us this whole time. And he's mm-hmm. like, you're not getting it. Let me send myself
yes.
in the flesh to really show you by leading by example and not doing it perfectly, because I'm going to live just like you. I'm not going to have all my power and all that stuff. I'm going to live in a way where I can understand your pain. And he experienced more pain than anyone else. And now God can actually say, like, I live that life too. I understand what you're going through. Because he really did experience it at the worst possible level of suffering that anybody could.
Wow.
So it's so cool once you start to like learn and dive deep and apply it and ask questions and get in community with people and learn from others and not go through it on your own. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Kevin, I'm sure you could testify, like,
yes.
don't try to go on this faith journey alone. Like, find mm-hmm. people that you feel like have the faith that you want, learn from them, and just continue to walk in your faith and take yes. it one day at a time.
Gosh, that's so good, brother. We're just about out of time, but here on the Button Out podcast, we like to finish every episode with my guest writing a love letter to Jesus. So I know you prepared yours, so I'm just going to go ahead and sign off from here. And when he's done, we'll be done. But hey, thank you so much for tuning in. Can't wait for the next one. And I love you all very much.
Yeah, thank you guys. So yeah, Kevin's having us write a love letter. So this is what I wrote. Dear Jesus, thank you for just being my constant source of strength, peace, and direction when I'm confused where to go. In the middle of my role as a parent, a business owner, and as a servant as your kingdom, I know you're guiding every step I take, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm just mind blown by how much you've done in my life through the people that have entered my life. When I think of the weight I sometimes carry, like balancing work, family, and ministry, I'm reminded that you never leave me to do it alone. You call me to build and inspire and lead others in faith, and I ask for your wisdom and humility to do so in a way that reflects your love. Teach me to forgive quickly, please, and also help me to lead boldly, to serve selflessly, even when the path feels difficult. I just want to say thank you for placing big dreams on my heart, like helping others find their way to you, and for allowing me to do it in business spaces that I otherwise would not feel like would fit your ministry. And thank you for helping me to shine a light in places where some people might not ever experience that light. And I know these dreams are not mine alone. I know they are your plans for me, so please give me the courage to pursue them with unwavering faith, even when doubt creeps in. And Jesus, I also lift up my family to you, my children, my partner, and those who look to me for guidance, and ask that you would guide all of us. Above all, I just want to say thank you for walking with me, for never leaving me alone, for forgiving me, especially every single time I fall short, which I will continue to do, even though I will try not to. And thank you for reminding me daily of the freedom and purpose that I have in you. In your name, I pray and thank you. Amen.
So good, bro. I love you.
Love you, bro. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, man. I appreciate it.
Love this.
See you next time.